Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Happy to be here with you all. Lovely day outside where I'm at. And in light of that, we're going to have a nice, lovely guest, rather light topic to start the show with, and, you know, a bit more palatable for you all on this, well, it's the day after Good Friday. I don't really know what the Saturday is before Easter Sunday, but for at least the Christians, it's the weekend for a nice, light topic, right? Because we're observing the anniversary of our Lord and Savior being crucified, which is a very heavy topic. But as for everyone else, well, I guess, any Jewish listeners out there, it's Passover around that time of year, so that's certainly a rather ominous occasion to be observing. So you could use something light as well. And as far as Islamic listeners, well, Ramadan, so I think that was around this time as well. And atheist listeners, just something to bite in your Saturday, right? But before we get to our guests, though, I do have to get through the introductions for our social media and for thanking the people who make this show possible. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist in the first place and protecting us from the burden of having to go fundraise for ourselves. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com, and you can find previous editions of the show and the podcast page on that website, and you can also find the Alan Nathan Show up there as well, which I sometimes guest host, such as last week where I guest host three times. And you can find us on social media as well. First of all, there's Main Street Radio Network social media pages, which we parasite off of. There's their Wimkin page, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, and of course, there's our Getter page, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. All right, now that those, all that's out of the way to introduce the show, let's introduce our guest, Dani Katz. She is one of Los Angeles's edgiest literary talents, with her latest book being The Language of Betterarchy, A Blueprint for Uniting Against Tyranny, which I would be remiss if I did not mention was a follow-up to her earlier book, Word Up, Little Languaging Hacks for Big Change. She's also written hundreds of articles in outlets such as LA Weekly, Los Angeles Times, and Vice. She is also the creator of Pop Propaganda, a course designed to teach students how to recognize and combat propaganda. So, Dani Katz, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. So I guess we're going to start with your latest book, The Language of Betterarchy. We should really start with Word Up, since that is it's the sequel to it, sort of, right?
Yes, it is. So whereas Word Up was all about using language for personal transformation and evolution, my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, is about using language to evolve our society out of hierarchy altogether. So it's a much more ambitious book.
Me personally, I think humans kind of need some kind of hierarchy in order to function. I think they actually tried that very briefly in certain revolutions where, like, they didn't have a hierarchy or anything involved, and just, like, people just couldn't figure out what to do or how to get people to do things, and then that led to tyranny coming in, and nobody wants that. So what do you propose here exactly in the Language of Betterarchy?
Well, what I propose is that hierarchy is an outdated structure because it requires there to be losers for there to be winners. Like, we hear, you know, a lot of confused people harping on patriarchy is the reason for everything terrible that's ever happened since the beginning of time, and that we should be ashamed of our privilege, but at the same time, we should be privileging minorities. And I just realized, like, this whole privileging conversation has got to go. Hierarchy is dependent upon us believing in an external authority instead of knowing ourselves as our own internal authority. Hierarchy necessarily creates resentment and division among the people because we're always competing with one another for an allegedly limited array of resources. So this whole structure, from my perspective, is the issue that's doing the collective body bad. And so I've created Betterarchy as like a placeholder for where I'd like to see culture evolve, wherein we're speaking a language that's infused with the frequencies of empowerment, of abundance, of cooperation, of possibility. At this point, we're speaking an outdated hierarchical language that is programmed with all those outdated hierarchical frequencies: lack, limitation, fear, conflict. Like, hierarchy is dependent upon all those energies for it to function. So if we're going to continue to operate in a hierarchical structure, we're never going to get past those energetics. But with betterarchy and speaking a language that is devoid of those hierarchical frequencies, we actually have a chance to evolve our culture into something that serves the greatest good for the most people.
That's an interesting concept there. And, you know, because there is just a lot of negativity and fear, especially when it comes to government structures. You know, it seems like the entire way the government is propped up by, you know, your fear of either anarchy or fear of the other side or whatever, rather than what can the government do for you. It's how can the government keep you safe from all the evils out there, which I guess is kind of what the government can do for you. But that's not really helping you evolve as a person. It's just keeping you safe.
Well, is it even keeping us safe? I mean, I don't think our government is doing a great job at that, but definitely through, you know, centuries of indoctrination, we've come to depend on daddy government to keep us safe at our own detriment, because we're dropping the ball on our own empowerment, on our own self-responsibility, on our own inner agency. And hierarchy requires us to have no agency. It requires us to be disempowered, requires us to reach outside for daddy government to sweep in and allegedly save us, but really just enslave us more.
Yeah, it's just the more, and on top of that, as you said, they're not even doing the job of saving us. They're just using this language of fear and negativity in order to convince us to give them more power, but they don't actually use that power for our betterment or anything. They just use it for themselves.
Exactly. And because we've been so indoctrinated to reach outside of ourselves, now that we realize, oh, the government doesn't actually have our best interest in mind, most of the populace has no idea how to pivot from that, because they don't have a sense of their internal agency. So they're like, okay, well, might as well just go along with this, you know, mediocre system that really isn't working anymore.
And the government certainly is doing its best to, you know, kind of suppress anyone and certainly any language out there that is kind of opposed to this idea of them being in charge, and also suppress your sense of self-agency. You know, I just look at all the darn laws that we have on the books and all the agencies in the government that take away our self-agency. And you'll see just that seems to be what the government is dedicated to, transferring your own empowerment into the hands of the government.
100%. Exactly. And so this book is a toolkit that allows us to shift this paradigm in a peaceful, empowered, cooperative way. It's not just like, hey, here's the problem. It's like, and here's a solution in addition that we can all start using immediately, because they're very, very simple languaging upgrades that we could be using now to start shifting this.
You know a lot about languages. You know, I was studying your bio and all, and of it, just how involved in language you are. How did you get started in all that?
Well, I've been a writer for most of my life. You know, I was a journalist around, I'd say it was around 2007 when I started to have some deeply shamanic experiences. And I had an incident where I went to bed healthy and I woke up paralyzed. I couldn't move my left arm. I had 5 compressed discs in my upper cervical spine, but nothing had really happened. Like, it was this great mystery. And so I spent about a month on the couch just reading books from my bookshelf. But I found this book that I have no idea where it came from, called Hidden Language Codes, written by R. Neville Johnson. And he was shot point blank in the chest, and he was dead for a few minutes. And when he died, he downloaded these languaging codes. After I read that book, I started to see languaging codes. And I was working as a journalist at the time, so words were trying to invite me into this more multidimensional conversation. And I was like, guys, I'm on a deadline. Like, I don't really have time for this conversation you're trying to have with me. But it became more and more pervasive. And ultimately, I surrendered and realized that the language was trying to show me how the frequencies encoded in the words were programming us as individuals, as well as programming our collective reality structure. So basically, I just surrendered, you know, and at this point, I realize I've been chosen as a custodian of the language. I'm here to serve the language, and that's what I do.
Yeah, you know, I've seen, like, as far as the different language and word coding and all that, you know, there's actually been I'm trying to think of the name of these things, like those charts that they do where it's like it shows the words from an article or the words from a series of articles from like a news outlet or something, and like the word that's used the most is the biggest one on the page, and that like shows how each outlet encodes the language in their own stories. So, you know, it's something that people do, that professionals do, in order to try and keep their readership or guide their readership into certain directions.
100%. The social engineers know very well how language functions as a reality creation tool, which is why they go the distance to not teach us those things. I mean, as a content creator, my content is very suppressed and censored in the ways that, you know, most people speaking truth are. But nothing gets more censored than me teaching people how to use language to empower themselves. That seems to get the most censored because they don't want us to know this, because once we have this knowledge, then we can very easily, gracefully, and peacefully flip the script.
All right, well, I'm glad you finished that right there, because right about now the music's going to start because the segment's just about over. And we weren't trying to censor you, I promise. We just got to go to commercial. But tell us where we can get a copy of The Language of Betterarchy real quick.
You can get it on Amazon, print, ebook, and audiobook. You can find it through my website, DannyKatz.com.
All right, listeners, you heard it, DannyKatz.com. You can go check her out because we are coming up to a break. But when we come back, we have more Silk or Joe Show for you.
Easter and springtime are just around the corner, and I've got some great ideas. If you're looking for creative play, we've got the one count scribble scrubbies from Crayola, two washable markers, scrub brush. Kids can do it over and over again. Wash them off, clean slate, repeat play value. For a little bit of water play, check out the Hatchimals Alive Make a Splash play set. Two exclusive characters. You're going to hatch them in the water in the tub that's included. Really fun, and you've got these two exclusive characters, a little bit of collectability there. For the Thomas and Friends paint delivery set, we've got a motorized train that's going to go around the track. He's going to get stuck on the bridge. It's going to knock some paint cans over, really engaging kids in that imaginative play. For fans of Gabby's Dollhouse, there's a brand new season out. This is the perfect party bus. It's going to bring the setting to life. We've got a little disco stage. Gabby and DJ Catnip are ready to rock. If you're looking to get kids up and moving, check out the kid-powered go-kart from Grazer. This is the Crazy Kart Shuffle, and it's super easy to use. 5 adjustments, so it's going to grow with your kid. You can head over to thegeniusofplay.org to learn more.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all today. So a few weeks ago, was it last week maybe, or the week before perhaps, I was talking about that Venezuelan illegal immigrant. Just this headline here from Gateway Pundit, which normally they would have said illegal immigrant, mind you, but it says Venezuelan migrant. I was just reading that off. But apparently this guy, Leonel Moreno, and I talked about him before on the show, how he was telling illegal immigrants how they could squat illegally in someone's house, squat in someone's house and steal their house from them. Well, now apparently he's a fugitive. And he's also talked about how how you can steal from grocery stores, and evidently he has also discussed how to, he's also mocked people for paying for, mocked American taxpayers, mind you, for paying for him and his family to live here and steal someone's house, thanks to, I guess, the Democrat immigration system. So look at that, the guy just, the illegal immigrants that they think they're helping, they're openly mocking them and their sympathy. And this guy, you know, he clearly has no need to actually be in this country, no asylum or whatever. He doesn't give a crap about that. He just came for all the free stuff, like a lot of them do. You know, this one picture I saw of a bunch of male fighting age illegal immigrants, you know, like 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And they're all with smartphones and some of them cigarettes and stuff. And the caption to the picture read, you know, that they are so oppressed that they forgot their families but remembered their cigarettes and cell phones, right? That how can you make the case that they're seeking asylum when it's just single male coming in, no family or whatever, and that's the majority of who's crossing the border? It's not terrible, battered women and children that are going to die if they go back to the home country. It's just a bunch of dudes looking for jobs and for freebies from American taxpayers, which Democrats are happy to provide. And as I've mentioned before, it seems to be part of just a plot to get these people to either vote Democrat or to squat in Democrat districts so that Democrat congressmen, when Congress is reapportioned, get more seats in those districts, which are going to be blue areas. Theoretically, you could have exactly one Democrat voter in a district that has its own congressman because there's 50,000 illegal immigrants there, right? That's theoretically possible. So that's certainly why Democrats want them in this country, at least at the top part of the party. But then they tell you, oh, you got to feel pity for them, sympathy, blah, blah, blah. But then you look at who's coming across, people like Leonel Moreno, for example, who have videos with 4 million views talking about how easy it is to steal from American citizens. So luckily, he is now apparently a fugitive, though, evading authorities as confirmed by ICE and according to the New York Post. So I guess that's some justice there, perhaps. And it's just a shame, though, that our system, the squatting system, too, in this country is set up to this way where such things are possible. But that seems to be getting more attention now. I'm not sure exactly why, because the squatting problem has been around for a while. I guess COVID made it worse because, you know, you couldn't evict people, which effectively allowed them to apply for protections under the squatters rules after those of after so long of not being allowed to be evicted. Oh, look at this. Oh, his TikTok account was suspended too, and I'm just reading this quote from him. I am in danger of death in the U.S. I need protection. I am being persecuted. My account has been blocked. This is the guy who talks about stealing from grocery stores, stealing houses from Americans, and he wants you to feel bad for him, and he's talking about how it's an outrage that they got rid of his TikTok accounts, which tell people how to break the law and get away with it. So, what a brat. Is that really the kind of immigrant that enlivens the country that we benefit from, according to Democrats? Yes. So, thanks to the Democrat Party for that. But It actually, apparently, the count got suspended right after, I guess, it was brought up in a White House press conference. So perhaps they were just ignoring the problem until they couldn't anymore. But how many more people are like this guy is the question. We're supposed to believe that all of them are refugees, asylum seekers, until proven otherwise, I guess. But that's not how the immigration system ever was supposed to work. Immigration system in this country was never innocent until proven guilty. The system was always, you know, you're not allowed in unless you go in the right way, unless you do it properly. Certainly not allowed to come in and brag on social media about stealing from us and tell other people how to do it. Actually, one of the videos, the guy boasts about receiving $350 weekly from the federal government. I don't get $350 weekly. But he did? Why? You know, we talk about a universal basic income. That was a Democrat talking point. Why do illegal immigrants get it, but American citizens don't? It's just baffling how they think this. And free healthcare, too. Universal healthcare apparently exists for illegal immigrants. It's like they're trying to really court that demographic. They see that as the future of of their party. And this actually could be the truth, because Democrats have come out in concern about how we need to replace the American people because we're not, well, not exactly replace them. We're just not having enough kids to support the country, support Social Security for certain, because it's a pyramid scheme based on having more and more kids each generation. So if we go back to pre-baby boomer norms as far as reproduction goes, then suddenly all these systems we have in place collapse. So that's why, in particular, Democrats, well, also Republicans too, they all want to import these people. And the common line you hear from all of them, oh, they'll take the jobs that we don't want, that or we need them because we're not having enough kids or whatever. Of course, Democrats are the ones who want to make it impossible to have kids or very difficult to have kids and want the government to take the kids away from you and raise them. But that's a different story. The point is, they want these folks, and they're also training the army of feminists who think that it's destroying the climate or something to have children. So after they artificially lower the birth rate, they bring in all these third worlders to come in, and, you know, they claim that that's because the birth rate is that they lowered, right? So, and they brag about, you know, this great replacement stuff. Out of one side of the mouth, they'll say that it's a myth, it's a racist right-wing lie, but then out of the other side of the mouth, they'll applaud it. So, and the reasoning again is they need these workers in the country, and they also need this new crop of people to pay taxes and support Social Security and all that. I guess they just loading the population here with as many as they can before finally they drop the hammer and say, you're all citizens now, you pay taxes, you're in the system. And, you know, it's a fringe benefit that they get votes, but really what they need to do is keep our system from collapsing after years of them abusing it in order to win the votes of feminists and whatnot. So I guess it's just this whole illegal immigrant situation is the solution to a mess that the government has created. And unfortunately, it means replacing you with people who, like this Leonel Moreno, who is going to be really disappointed, I guess, that when the day comes where he gets citizenship and finds out that he's no longer getting the freebies that were bribing him to come here. And what happens after that, though? Is there just like a mass surge of people at the border trying to get into Mexico from the United States to try and get out? I guess we'll see how that situation will go. Because, you know, it's like with Puerto Rican state citizenship, right? Or Puerto Rican stateship, not state citizenship, where everyone's in favor of it until they realize they have to pay more in taxes, then they're against it. They want all the benefits of being a state, but they don't actually want to pay the taxes of being a state. So that could end up being this ultimate strategy by Democrats, could end up backfiring. Who knows? We'll have to see where it goes. But until then, they're going to be trying to lure these people in with a lot of bribes, a lot of free stuff that they're not going to give to the American citizen. And I guess it's easier to give universal health care and universal basic income to the illegal immigrants because there's 30 million, not 300 million of them. Anyway, we have more Silker Joe Show coming up after this break, so I hope you'll stick around for it.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. I'm Patrick D. Niemans with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA. Last year, more than $125 million in grant-funded initiatives were awarded to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these federal grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Calling all accredited institutions of higher education, federal grant funding may be within your reach. I'm Evangela Hollowell with the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and a proud Hampton University alum. FMCSA offers a CMV Operator Safety Training Grant to educational institutions with opportunities to expand the number of commercial driver's license holders possessing enhanced operator safety training. This grant assists historically Black colleges and universities and minority-serving institutions. It also helps future alum like me get involved with the commercial motor vehicle industry. Prospective institutions with accreditation recognized by the U.S. Department of Education are encouraged to visit fmcsa.dot.gov/grants to explore the funding opportunity and learn how to start the application process. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's highways. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. And we are joined now by Robert Wiener. He is Democrat strategist, columnist, and former communications director for Clinton drug czar General Barry McCaffrey. Bob, always happy having the show. How are you today?
I wanted to make sure that our listeners know I have the co-author of our article that you want to talk about, Ben Kearney from Whitman College, here with us. So we're all enjoying being with you.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, Ben Kearney, welcome to the show as well.
Welcome.
And all right. So the article title is Update to Real IDs, a costly effort still dangerous to privacy after delays. Now, you have Update to Real IDs in there because you published an article on them a couple of years ago. And we had you, it was either on this show or the Alan Nathan show, to discuss it. And I guess nothing's changed in the time since we published the article, except the date of Real ID going into effect got pushed back.
Well, it's the opposite of the delay, delay, delay. They want to push forward with this very dangerous situation that twice now Op-Ed News ranked our piece that you are smart enough to pick up on, Joe. Thank you for that. H1, their number one op-ed in the country. It's dangerous. The doing of real IDs. I said to the division director for Maryland, when he told me we have safe employees who spread the word and share it and can have access to it, I said, yeah, so is Edward Snowden. There's no such thing as a safe employee. And over 31 states have shared the information around the country that's on real IDs, and it's subject to cyber attack without even security blocks on it. Unencumbered access allows that kind of knowledge of people's what you use. You can use all kinds of things, your passport, your Social Security, your home mortgage, your bank accounts. There's all kinds of things that you can bring in to authorize your real clear ID. This is an enormous invasion of privacy. And the last time we ran it, they delayed it by a year, then they delayed it by another year. Now we're back at it, and there's going to be a hack. It's shared among the states. It's shared among all the employees. Everybody has access to it. Gee, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, and right now, as you're talking, we're dealing with the fallout from a recent Chinese cyber attack on the U.S. And then, what was it, sometime late last year, Iran participated in such an attack as well. So as all these cyber attacks are going on, they're still trying to push forward with this?
Well, Joseph, DOD has been hacked in personnel. OPM, the Office of Personnel Management of the White House and the entire federal government. All of Starwood Hotels. Equifax, the main credit company, has been hacked. I keep getting these emails that, you know, you'll be careful. So what are they talking about, putting people's information in real IDs out there? We are just plain stupid. I mean, the whole reason for the whole movement now against TikTok is because China has access to all the people that use it.
Yeah, now, is there a way to implement this without all this rigmarole? Or it's like, is there a reason why the government feels they need to do this the way they're doing it, which by putting our information up at risk?
Well, I got to tell you, it isn't a big deal to go through TSA. There's never that big of a wait. And if it means a few more people that we have to pay for than when it's a big vacation time or travel time, whoop-de-doo. It's just not a big deal to bring the ID that you need. If you have a driver's license, bring your passport. If they want to tell people that you have to show another ID, then fine. There are ways to do this without violating every single person's, of the millions and millions who travels, privacy. There's just another way to do it. And I am leery every time I go through and I have to show something. And now they're, I don't know which way you use, but I have my eyes that are my clearance, and some people use their fingerprints. Those are okay, but gee whiz, to have all of your other data, all of your other IDs, they've gone overboard. And I hope that, you know, the fact that this was named H1 again, and you know, every once in a while, like every month or so, we do a press release so it goes out, blows out nationally, in addition to being ranked H1 on Op-Ed News and published that way, which a lot of decision makers read. But we're going to publish this and make sure that everybody knows that this is a serious danger.
Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned in an article an interesting point about 10th Amendment violations that the Real ID Act would do, as far as powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, reserved to the states respectively. So I guess this Real ID thing stomps over that?
It stomps over that, and it stomps over the money that the states have to pay. Homeland Security only wants to pay a small portion, and then the rest of the states have to pay. So, yes, it's a budgetary issue. It's a privacy issue. It's a constitutional issue. And the ACLU, because of all that, Joseph, has filed a still active lawsuit, and I hope they re-up it and get at it again, because this is a serious, serious danger.
Right. It's just another way that our information can be stolen by bad actors and all that sort of thing. And I'm just, you think that in a time, again, this is, you're publishing this op-ed around the same time that you published it 10 days ago, but I guess we were still being hacked by the Chinese at that time. You think that would have been a wake-up call to somebody about it instead of just pushing forward with this thing, you know, like I mentioned a moment ago, in the wake of all these cyber attacks. Like, why has anyone ever even thought of extra security to make it work?
Well, that's the point. You know, this goes way back, Joseph. Two of my bosses, Ed Koch, who did the Koch-Goldwater, what a coalition, their Privacy Act of 1974, and the Conyers, John Conyers, Amash Act, again, Democrat-Republican of 2013, they were both banned bulk federal data collection without a warrant from cell phones, and the Supreme Court supported it in 2018. Supreme Court ban in 2018 still holds in today's date. So I'm surprised that these guys haven't been challenged legally and thrown into court and have a stay put against them. There's all kinds of precedent for what they did before, which is to stop it again.
Well, it might just be because the public has just come to accept it. You know, if I mention real ID, people are like, oh, yeah, that. When does that go into effect? No one's like, right. Oh, that thing's so horrible. It's just accepted as a sort of inevitability.
Right. But if it were to go to court, I don't know where this court comes down on privacy, but probably that's a pretty conservative principle. Like I said, Goldwater and Amash were both the co-authors of those two bills, and then the court supported it. So I suspect that it's a potentially winning issue in court. I just think maybe ACLU is a little bit asleep at the switch here too. Ben, what's the answer on that one? But anyway, we'll check that one out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could also just be like, you know, as people are accepting it as inevitable, no one's really pushing against it. Maybe no one just understands the harm for it, and that's why we need op-eds like yours out there so that people can see what's going on here, why real ID might actually be a big problem instead of people just assuming they can trust their information to the government.
Well, like I said, Edward Snowden was safe. So was Texera, you know. There's no such thing as safe employees. But that kid was playing video games and he's in jail for blowing the cover of DOD. I love how the government works on stuff like that. Oh, and then we did a piece, Military Extremism in Stars and Stripes, the great veterans and military newspaper. Of course, the military says we started it and there's no real problem for anything. And then the government, Homeland Security, there's no real problem. That's sort of like the inclination of the government is there's no real problem. We'll do a report saying it's fine when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, and I read about the military extremism stuff a while ago and it was like their definitions of it were so vague that they could have defined it either way. They could have defined it as what I expected to say, all these people are extremists, and then they seem to have defined it the way you found, where, nah, there's nothing here, we don't have to do anything.
Right. And Austin, too, you know, no one intended to stop you from knowing. Yes, that was the very thing you did, was to intend everybody to stop from knowing you were sick. I understand your reason, but gosh, you're the Department of Defense Secretary. You don't have that right. You're in charge of the defense of our entire country, and you could have told the president. But no, the report said, oh, no, there was no real intention to stop anybody. Yes, that was the whole thing that there. So for these reports to say those kinds of things, when they don't pass the common sense test, that's why the people protest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe if they had a real ID on them, we'd have found out through a hack that something was going on with Lloyd Austin. But why would the administration like that? Why would you want to keep it secret from your boss, though? It's like, I can understand, you know, maybe the American people shouldn't know the guy is sick. Certainly our enemies shouldn't know he was sick. But, like, you know, certainly Joe Biden would know. Like with Alan and Jane, you know, if I'm sick and I can't host the show, I don't tell the audience that. And, you know, if Alan is sick and he's not hosting the show, we just say, you know, something generic. We don't say, sorry, he's keeled over, you know.
Well, there's an inclination. I remember when I had a serious problem with sciatica and I could barely walk and all, and I was limping. When I first interviewed with General McCaffrey, a four-star general, and I was going to meet him, I didn't want him to see me limping, so I hit it the best I could. You know, I'm better now. It's years later. But people like their medical privacy. There is that. There's a value on that. So I'll give him that much. But, my God, you're the – of course he should have called Biden if he was going to assign his deputy secretary to do the job for the time that he was in the hospital. Are you serious? Of course he should have told Biden.
Right. And, you know, we're coming up to a break here real quick, but, you know, just like that just goes in any environment. You tell your boss, you know, maybe you don't tell a specific reason if you're so concerned about it, but you got to tell them you're not going to be in. Address all concerns to this guy.
I am a believer in transparency. I think he should have told it all to Biden.
All right. Well, actually, Bob, if you could stay for the next segment, that would be appreciated because we do have some unfortunate news to get to. But folks, we have more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break.
Wireless connectivity is crucial for Americans. Smartphone technology, network speeds, and mobile services are key. But many people don't realize there's major value to be found in added customer benefits. T-Mobile is putting customers first with a new customer appreciation program. Experience VIP treatment with T-Mobile's Magenta status. New one-of-a-kind deals and experiences on nationally loved brands like hotels, rental cars, concerts, movie tickets, and more. Plus, discounts and freebies every week from T-Mobile, all at no extra cost. For T-Mobile, Cassie Slane.
With Magenta status, T-Mobile customers can now get sweet perks like 15% off across Hilton's 22 leading hotel brands worldwide and upgrades to Hilton Honors Silver. Free fuel top-off at Dollar or recharge at Hertz when returning your rental. $5 movie tickets every month and 25% off some of the hottest shows of the year.
Magenta status gives customers over $1,500 a year in extra value, all for just being T-Mobile customers. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. Last year, more than $125 million in grants funded initiatives were awarded by the program. Funding recipients were empowered to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have 3 wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are still joined by Robert Wiener, Democrat strategist, columnist, former communications director for Clinton Drug Czar General Barry McCaffrey. But also, I do believe he has with him on the phone still Ben Kearney, whose bio is lost in my email now, which is searching. And here it is. He is the Clear ID co-author, or he's the co-author with Bob of his Real ID story that we covered in the last segment. So right now, though, we have to discuss something unfortunate, some tragic news earlier this week, the loss of former Senator Joe Lieberman. Now, we had him on the show back in November of 2021, but Bob, you probably have known him much longer.
What an amazing guy. He was sort of the Joe Manchin of our times. He was most of the time with the bulk of the Democratic position, but every once in a while he had his own position and he was annoying. So, but he was a giant. Of course, a vice presidential candidate with Gore. And back in 2003, this is my personal story, when my wife Pat, who discovered a gene activated in 80% of women with breast cancer, 70% of men with prostate cancer, and had a news conference at GW that 19 cameras came to, and Pat was live all over this and that and was sort of a national spokesman for that period of time. Lieberman was about to speak in 2003 at GW, and I called up his office and told him about Pat's discovery and the attention it was getting, and wondered if he, when he came over to give his speech, if he could mention and reference Pat because she'll be there in the audience. And sure enough, he did, which drove Pat's bosses, the dean of this and, you know, and the chair of that, nuts, because how did Pat get, you know, recognized at GW when Joe Lieberman was giving a speech on national security? But he did it, and it was wonderful, and Pat stood up and got applauded for her discovery. And then he invited us to a private dinner afterwards with 10 people after his speech, and it was a lot of fun to be with him. And he's a very genuine guy, and he all the time, despite his actual independence, he did what he believed in, and he did not just become – and I won't mention any names, to be a puppet or an acolyte of the leaders of the party. He was his own man and was a leader in that time when you needed that. He was friends with Lindsey Graham and worked closely with him in Iraq issues. He called out Bill Clinton on his morals, which drove Clinton. I remember that one. I was working at the Clinton White House. You know, he called out Bill Clinton on the Lewinsky thing. I mean, after all, when people asked Bill Clinton, why'd you do it? He said, because I could, you know, so that's hardly a good reason. So Lieberman was a giant. He was a terrific, remembered person in American history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, when I interviewed him, of course, I was, I'm not going to say starstruck exactly, but like, it seemed that he had more gravity than most other guests we've had on this show before.
Yeah. And you knew that you were getting the truth from his perspective.
Right.
He wasn't making it up and he wasn't a spokesman. He was him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were promoting his new book. From listeners, you can probably still get a copy of it, The Centrist Solution, How We Made Government Work and Can Make It Work Again. And I just wanted to get that out there. So, you know, maybe some profits from that could go to his family, who's probably in grieving at this time, and good Lord, funeral expenses.
Well, of course. I don't think he's going to have problems with the funeral expenses, but okay.
That's just the first thing I think of because, you know, when relatives of mine pass, that's what our concern is, you know. A few years ago, my grandmother passed away, and there was, like, no money for the funeral.
Well, your family better be ready if you want a decent funeral and coffin and all that for 20 grand. As far as I'm concerned, they can splash my my ashes over a track, and I'm fine.
And, you know, we've been talking here, but is Ben Kearney, if he's still with you, does he have any Joe Lieberman stories he'd like to share?
You didn't know Joe Lieberman, did you? But do you have any thoughts?
He was...
Oh, I'm going to put him on. Here's Ben Kearney.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So I know Lieberman's regarded as one of the most historic or like the first Jewish American senator before Chuck Schumer. So that's part of his legacy he'll be remembered for.
You know, I didn't know that about him, actually. I never looked up his religion or anything. So that actually is somewhat of a historic moment right there because there's been just a strain of anti-Semitism in the country since its founding. But, you know, that's the product of the times or whatever. So that's real progress right there that he got in.
Yeah, that, I mean, he, like Bob said, he was a big trailblazer and he's going to be remembered in history for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any particular, you know, accomplishment of his aside from that like you can think of to share with our listeners here? Just like something that speaks to you.
I think the fact that he was, a vice presidential candidate for Al Gore in 2000, and he was a big supporter of John McCain in 2008. Like he had his foot in the door for the White House not once but twice, which I think. Regardless of which coin you're on or which side you're on, there's definitely a way to be remembered for being, hey, I want to be in the White House and change the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it goes towards his bipartisanship, too. They could shift from Al Gore to John McCain in, you know, only the span of 8 years just based on who he thinks would be doing the better job at the time.
Yeah.
And still, you know, remain steadfast and honest. Well, Ben, I appreciate your insight into this because... You know, just the passing of a great man like that, everyone's affected in some way. Everyone probably has been affected by something that Joe Lieberman had done in his career. You know, whether or not you realize it or not, being in politics, being a senator, he's worked on some vital, important legislation for all of us.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too, because, you know, I'm currently a college student. I'm almost a year to graduating from Whitman College in Washington State, and you know, we all get affected by certain people in politics or in the world. I remember being really affected when the late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg died back in 2020. And, you know, there's always going to be a way to remember it. And I think the important thing for the listeners or anyone is pay respect and don't disrespect the deceased, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Everyone's guilty of disrespecting the deceased, unfortunately. You know, you'll see hit pieces on both sides coming out depending on who it is that passed. I think George H.W. Bush was like greeted by a few, then Ruth Bader Ginsburg greeted by a few. It just doesn't matter who you are, someone's going to hate you.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Kearney, appreciate you talking, and if you could stick Bob back on to wrap up the segment, if he has any final thoughts
course.
For the last 30 seconds here.
Yeah, thanks for talking.
Oh, glad to have you.
I'm back.
All right, yep, we're wrapping up here. Anything else you want to say in the last 20 seconds or so, remembering Joe Lieberman?
Well, he was a great one, and I would also ask if our listeners, Joseph, would be wanting to go to www.wienerpublic.com/op-eds, and then you'll see all of our 1,000 op-eds that we've got up recently, and most recently in Detroit News, and Orlando Sentinel, and Newsweek, and in the Montreal Gazette, many, many places, the Pulse Institute, and many of them ranked number one and number two by op-ed news. So, and if you have any ideas for op-eds, my email is up in the top right corner.
All right, well, listeners, you can check them out and our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.